Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Monday night's version of Raising Expectations. And when you're glad you're here on Monday night, because that's the only one that we do during the week, you're going to have to watch it on the site the next days during the week. But Monday night's special because we look forward to being with you. And thanks for the words you give back to us that you look forward to being with us. It's great to be a family in Raising Expectations together. I'm Pastor Joe, and we just want you to know, in case you're watching for the first time, that we are born-again believers. We're men and women of faith. We believe that God is who He says He is. We believe that His Son is Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for our sins, that we've been born again when we received that gift. We know that He's coming again for us someday. We will be together with those we love in heaven. And in the meantime, it's great. We get the best of both worlds. We get to have Him when we pass to be with our family and friends, and we get to walk and live with Him each and every day. And that's where the name comes from, Raising Expectations. We can work really hard on things, but when God puts into it and says, this is the way to go, those expectations take off. So we're certainly glad you're with us tonight. It's an honor and a privilege to have you with us. I'm going to tell you about the family again, the people that you know that are on our team. First of all, I want to go from where we are right now and we'll take you back to Lompoc, California, where we have Dr. Paul Hall. And Dr. Paul Hall is there in Lompoc, California. He's a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's a counselor. He's done just about everything that comes with the product of helping people in the name of Christ. And everybody loves Paul. He's been my friend a long time, and I join my name with everybody else's, that he's been a life changer so often in my life as my friend and my brother in Christ. So good to see you, Paul.
Thank you. Good to see you.
You think they might fire a rocket tonight, you think?
It's supposed to go this evening. So if you see everything shaking, SpaceX did it again.
There you go. All right, right there. There we go. That'd be exciting. So if we start to shake a little, we'll just say, there we go. Paul's launching his rockets. All right. That's in Lompoc, California. And Paul and I head back to the East Coast, actually the South. We would be in Dalton, Georgia, and there we would be with two of our favorite people, the Thayers, Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer. And tonight, Steph will be with us, but we've got Dr. Craig Thayer with us. And you all know him. He is a surgeon. He is a man of God. He's been helping people with his hands and his gift as a surgeon for many, many years. He's been a missionary surgeon also. He has a book that's called Saved. You'll find it on our website. And on our website, you will find his book Saved right there. And by the way, our website, and I was going to give it to you, and we got to talking there. It's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And that's it right there. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And on that site, you'll see the story of the folks that are part of our team here and read a little bit about what they're doing. You'll also find, when you get past the stories of who's been on the show here, you'll find his book. His book there is called Saved, and how you get a hold of it and everything is right there. Finding God in the Ordinary. Dr. Tank talks about what God did in his life, one trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life, Saved. I tell you what, when God goes to work in your life, you find him in those ordinary things, doing extraordinary answers to the prayers that you give. So you'll want to get a copy of this and hear about Craig's life growing up, and you'll feel like you do, like you've known him all your life, just like we do, and be part of the family there with us. And on the same site, our website there, just above, you'll find my book, Legitimate Faith, Producing What? Authentic Hope. And that's a hope that you gain when you trust in God and you get run over and you begin to crawl out of the potholes of life and you put your hands of faith up. He reaches down his hand of grace and he lifts you up by that power and teaches you and grows you to a producing authentic hope faith that is there when you need him all the time. Faith, remember that, the acrostic, F-A-I-T-H, what's that mean? Forsaking all, I trust him. And you'll find that in Tank's book as a surgeon. And if I ever need a surgeon in my life, Tank could be the one I want working on me, right, Paul? You too. We talk about that a lot. He's the one we'd want. So, Tank, you're on your own tonight, but that's okay.
Yeah, the missus is in Amsterdam.
Oh, wow. No. For a conference. Okay, great. That's great. There well,
go. There goes the rocket.
Yep. Did it? Oh,
yeah. It's shaking.
Yeah, I think I hear that. Wow, that's
I'm
really
sorry.
Something.
Sorry for the interruption.
No. Okay. That's right. When he said she took off for Amsterdam, the rocket went off. That was pretty
that's
cool.
Right. Yeah.
That really sounded good. You'll find out that these are two of the most wonderful people you'll ever meet. And Tank has some great things he'll be sharing with us tonight also. So the three of us come together as the three amigos and look for our partner who's in Central America. Actually, he's in Texas, which we call Central America. And if we make our way back to Texas, you'll find in the great city of McKinney, Pastor Ron Greer. And Ron is a counselor, a pastor. He ran for Congress. Ron has done so many things as he follows God's leadership in his life, throughout his life. He is a regional director. You'll find him on our website also. And you'll want to look that up, area director with Man in the Mirror. And he counsels and works with men across America, helping them to see that all the things that happen in their life are for a reason and for a purpose, and that if they'll allow him, God will show what he's been doing in those things. And Ron gives him a great source and a great tap to go to for spiritual strength and guidance as he leads them to a closer walk with Jesus. A lot of times when I think about Ron, I think about that old hymn, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, let it be. And that's what these guys find when they get counsel and work with Ron. So tonight we are the four amigos. That's the three amigos with the spare. Works out really well that way. And we were going to play our new theme song for you, which was the theme for the Magnificent Seven. But we did a head count twice and we were missing three. So tonight we're going to have you just think it in your mind and you'll just feel it. That's it. See, there we go. It's going to be a magnificent show together. And we're going to talk tonight about some things that hopefully you've been thinking about as we were talking about them this week. I want to take you to them, hopefully. If you've been reading the promo, usually you'll get back to me. Many of you share. I appreciate what you said there, Joe. That this week's show will feature our team guys. That's us sharing, discussing, and reacting to what we believe that God is doing across America through President Trump, our duly inaugurated 47th president. He said to be bringing back common sense, a two-letter word phrase that we hear a lot of each and every day. And many are sharing how the presence and the peace of God is returning to the hearts of people and Americans everywhere. And the same can accurately be said about the world situation. You see it everywhere from the Middle East to the South Pacific and from Europe to South America and Chile and other places. It seems to be all around the world what is happening with our president and what he's taking a stand for who we are. So many of you have dropped lines to me on this, and we pray a lot for our nation. We pray for our Congress. We pray for people to get on board, put our nation first, put the law, the Constitution first, and get going that way. So I heard something, one little thing, and I'm going to pass this ball over. Something that I heard, three words. They had three A words, like AAA insurance when they think about President Trump. You guys probably heard this, but it really got my attention. The three A words were authentic, action, and attention. That this president is authentic. He is who he says he is. He takes action and does what he says he will do. And he draws attention not to himself, but to the truth which he said, which he carries out through what he's doing. Not that he doesn't have to duck a little, but he does what he says. Three words: authentic, action, and attention. So be thinking about those, and you can follow there live and type in a thought that you might have. And Ron, I know you're going to have a good thought on this. We were all kind of thinking about this because, yeah. So we're going to pitch it over. I know Tank's got a great thought he was sharing also. And why don't we pitch it over to Ron? And Ron, why don't you pitch it over to Tank after, and we'll just go around and share. It's good to see you guys. Love you, all of you.
Good to be here. Good to be here.
Hey, amen.
You're muted.
It's that fancy mic, man. Is that?
Yeah.
Cool. I'll be your sign language person for you.
Yeah.
On a radio show.
Oh,
you're muted, Ron.
There you go. Nobody hears me.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, great. Isn't that a scene from Airplane or something where they're like, yeah, nicely done, Ron.
I meant very good. You got me.
I clicked on my mic thinking I was unmuting myself. I muted myself instead. It's new technology for old guys. Sorry.
Oh, amen.
No, but thank you though. I said I would pitch it over to Tank so I wouldn't babble on too long. But I wrote some key points where I keep myself on track. How about that?
Excellent.
Good.
Okay. Start number one. I think just from the people I'm hearing from, the things I'm reading, the attitude among people in the country has indeed changed, and it's actually changing even more so, especially among non-traditional groups. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Somebody can tell you lies for so long, and after a while, reality interrupts the lie, and even a blind squirrel once in a while goes, wait a minute. Something doesn't seem right about that. So all of so you have this bizarre behavior going on that basically exposes what people sort of suspected for a long time, and now just confirms it. The problem is they don't know they're confirming it. So I'll give you an example. You have an army of Democrats standing outside a government building, protesting, screaming, yelling about all the waste and the fraud has been exposed. And they're screaming, yelling, demanding something be done about it and make sure that Trump doesn't do any more. And the average American going, wait a minute. So $69 billion of my tax money has been wasted and you're angry. And so you now have people saying that, wait a minute, what else have they done? What else has been going on? And now, wait a minute, why are you mad at Trump if he's exposing it? So even the people who didn't have such a favorable view of him have in the last week or so starting question whether or not their views were indeed legitimate. So that's one thing. And I think among evangelical Christians, especially those who didn't vote, not that I'm calling you out, but I am. Now you have the conversation among them even going, well, maybe he was the right choice. Maybe he was. And at the same time, you have again another group of more conservative folk who are saying, well, he was probably the best choice we had, but it's turned out to be better than we thought it would be. So Trump is still not the very moral, committed, upstanding Christian that they like to have in office, which they haven't worked in to get.
Amen.
I won't go off on there either. But he is. The things he's doing, you can't deny. You've been talking about religious freedom and persecution. Now, the first week in office, he establishes an office of faith to start working on how do we find ways to help Christian organizations, Christian causes to go forward without the kind of opposition and the underhanded backstabbing sort of injustices taking place. Who's done this? All right. So you have the guy who you say isn't a Christian, but yet he's doing all sorts of things to benefit the Christian community that allow you to go forth more effectively in sharing the gospel, fighting abortion, and all the other things. All right. Now, and a sidelight. So I know personally know a couple cabinet members. Well, they are now only confirmed. But through them and other people I've talked with, the most astounding thing that Trump has done is the number of committed Christians that he's made a part of his cabinet and around his administration.
Amen. That's right.
It's mind-boggling. You know, so I tell those friends again, okay, yes, Trump is not your idea of an evangelical Christian, but at least he knows the benefit of having evangelical Christians around in his cabinet and around his administration.
Yes.
So those two last things in and of themselves has caused a number of people to start thinking that, okay, maybe it's morning in America again.
Amen. And good point.
Yeah, there actually was a book written about all the Christian things that he did for his first time in the office.
Yes, yes.
And it's like, whoa. I mean, and even this program exposed a very benevolent program that Ben Carson and the person we interviewed was, and now he's in a higher position, looked at cities in the United States that were completely impoverished and found ways that were, you know, make it better. Yeah, turning around.
Yeah.
And no one knew about it.
Yeah. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
I was going to say, do you hear from Scott Turner? I sent him prayer notes, sent a note back and praying for him. But he feels pretty good about his freedom to work. From what I was reading, have you heard anything, Ron? Or?
I mean, other than he's still excited and still feeling as if he's got a free rein to do the things that need to be done. One thing that I'm waiting for the press, the media backlash. I haven't seen it yet, but at the first day in office, he, you know, called us, you know, staff meeting, all the leadership, and, you know, introduced himself and gave his testimony. And I kept saying, hey, it's not Prestonwood. You're in a government office. It sounded like he was giving testimony to church. He made no bones about it, right? About how God had placed him there, the things that God had done in his life, and how he understands the blessings. God, on and on and on. Not a single hesitation at all.
Wow.
And you kept thinking like, okay, this is the HUD secretary.
Yes, so exactly.
I loved it.
That's awesome.
Oh yeah.
More power to him.
Boldness. It's key.
Yeah. But you have him, you have Vaughn, who is the secretary of not Treasury. Vaughn, Scott Vaughn. Get his name. So committed Christian also, Scott Turner, J.D. Vance. You go down the list. It's like he's surrounded by them. And I'm saying either he understood the necessity or God orchestrated something there. However it took place, I love it. I love it. And at the same time, you're talking to Scott and I can't name the other two people, but they knew I'm talking. They knew I am who we're talking to.
Right.
If you listen to them, there's a transformation that took place in Trump, especially after the assassination attempt, the first one.
Yes.
And so you've had three total, and it somehow convinced him that he was indeed in a position that God wanted him there, and he doesn't fully get it, but he knows there's something. So that is another one of those developments that I'm praising God for.
Yeah. Christian joke is that he became holy in his ear.
Right.
That's right.
My goodness.
Just a boom.
That's a trauma surgeon.
In his ear like that.
That's a trauma surgeon joke.
Yeah. And that one was free, folks. No, that's right. You know, one of my favorites you guys like too is Victor Davis Hanson. Here in California, and he has, in fact, I just had a blurb come through on him right here. I don't know if you get the Daily Signal. He has stepped out and begun to speak, and of course, he likes Scott Turner, all these people. And he just, his whole thing tonight is, sorry, he goes, sorry, liberals, Doge is 100% legal, and here's why. And he's explaining it, the legal aspects of that tonight, because all the facts are coming out on there. Now there's something that's really getting under the skin of a lot of people who have a lot of money coming under the table, it would appear. Anybody want to comment on that?
It reminds me of the organized crime families who were down at the city hall screaming and yelling about the new prosecutor.
What do you mean put my name on?
I'm sorry.
Oh,
Oh, it is hilarious. If it wasn't so sad, it would be more hilarious. It really is. Sorry, go ahead.
it's just the coming together of two moral aptitudes in life, isn't it? I mean, there's a biblical morality, which is the Judeo-Christian ethic America was founded on, and there is a woke mentality, which is the lack thereof in compliance with all three things I just stated, that basically says, it's a take back on, I'm getting old, but maybe you guys remember the saying that was so big in the 70s, hey, man, if it feels good, do it. Doesn't make any difference, but if anything matters, it feels good, do it. And I remember as a youth pastor, man, I saw this guy and he'd been driving this way and I knew the kid was on something and I was a youth and this way back in 1970. And I saw that all over the back of his truck. I just wanted to drive right up behind him and smack into the back of him with my car. Boom, just hit that bumper. When that guy came out screaming and yelling and cussing at me, I just wanted to roll the window down and say, yes, but it felt so good. That's the
feel good if I did it.
Yeah, exactly, because I did exactly. And it doesn't feel good for anybody else, but nobody cares. I mean, yes. Tank, you were talking about that a little bit earlier about the women's lib and where are they and who's on the cover and what now. And it makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, the common sense, he's bringing back common sense. I thought that was good what you shared too. You remember it. We were tossing them around.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of The Wizard of Oz. So if you remember the scene where Dorothy, Toto, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Lion are standing there and watching the screen and they're believing this big wizard. And then Toto goes to pull the curtain back. And who does the wizard get mad at? Toto, because he's exposed.
Right.
That's a Democratic Party.
Exactly.
Good one. Good
That's
one.
A good one, isn't it? That's a good one. Boy.
You mentioned the whole Doge thing. I mean,
yeah.
So you have, this is also tells me the complicity of the media and how crooked they are. Now, of course, Musk has exposed why they're so crooked. So they're actually getting money and eating out of the same trough as all the other leftist organizations. So now you have people screaming and yelling about Doge and how Elon Musk is not an elected official and how they have no constitutional jurisdiction. And the media doesn't tell you that the Doge is nothing new. Doge is essence what the United States Digital Service was. Barack Obama put in place this United States Digital Service,
yes,
for the very same purpose, a digital ad of looking at agencies and spending and so forth online. Right now, of course, me personally, I think he put it in place to do some underhanded stuff. However, it was still authorized, still there. It's a part of the executive branch. They just changed the name of it. The service has been around since 2014 or 15, somewhere back there, maybe 20. Maybe a little bit before that, even.
12.
So you have people screaming and yelling, people who know for a fact, again, all those Democrats standing outside, well, the older ones at least for sure, they all know for a fact that agency was around long before Trump got around. But it's like it's old Marxist sort of strategy. You scream and yell and you make accusations as if they're true, and you scream them loud enough and long enough that people believe them. And then you have the media who join in with you to kind of help legitimize it. But it's I think the whole thing, you took the whole transgender movement, you take the whole homosexual alphabet movement or whatever you want to call it, this whole yelling and screaming about the government finding corruption and waste, and they're angry about that. I go back to, again, you go back in scripture, and when does Satan rile and scream the loudest?
Amen.
It's when truth comes in, when
the room.
Yes, all of us. What's always been the case is that you have people who are lost in their sin, who are ruled by their sin. They want to completely reject anything that's true, anything is of God, and then take what's left and flip it over, and then somehow call that reality, and no matter how you do it, it always comes out as being destructive, and people are like, people are more and more having all sorts of mental health issues and on. It's just always destruction and anger and hatred is always the result of it. Sorry, anyway, I've gone off on some tangent there, but anyway.
No. It's a good segue for me, because I think, you know, I think God is definitely exposing, you know, major sins. The sexual stuff with P. Diddy and Epstein, that's going to come out. I mean, if Trump releases, or that Gates is going to leave the country, why? Just to ask you a question, ultimate scholar is the ultimate skeptic. But, you know, and Steph and I talked about mental illness in this country and the feeling to belong, and 20% of entrants to college say they're gay. No, it's just the one I look at is Trump, you know, finally defining, you know, Adam was a male, Eve was a female. That's biblical. Mm-hmm. We have men and women. We don't have something in between. And so that said, you know, I feel for these kids that just are lost, and, you know, they're in a generation that kind of breeds that. The parents don't pay attention. They're into their own things. The two incomes, you know, so they're not in the house all the time. It's just, yeah. And now media and video games and who knows what else you can get, you know, so you find a way to be somewhat hedonistic. And that now, because you're doing things your mind knows you shouldn't be, you feel horribly depressed, suicidal, and it's horrible. And so I think the biggest thing for me is that Trump getting men out of the women's locker rooms and out of women's sports and getting back to, you know, nature, men against men, women against women, and be safe. And, you know, and then we have to deal with, and again, I feel this is not a surgical disease. We don't change people's physical. It doesn't help. It's proven to not help.
Right.
And I shame my fellow surgeons for doing that. I shame the pediatricians that referred people for drugs, either puberty blockers or maintaining the wrong sex with testosterone or estrogen. I mean, that makes them impotent and it makes them infertile at best, long term. It's just, I mean, what were they thinking? And they based it off of WAPO, which was basically just a bunch of PhDs, not docs.
Right.
There's one, if you look at their platform, they've got like 400 people listed without their degrees, interestingly, just the names. And it was about House of Cards, and it's sad. Yeah. Because it gave those kids, and even Elon Musk admitted on TV, you know, he didn't want to lose a son.
Yeah.
So it's just sad. And I feel for them. They need, because they feel this way. It's not, there's no chemical, there's no gene. This is a feeling. So it's mental. They need help. They need mental help.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You know, one of the, you know, you talk to teachers and administrators and folks in education, and then you talk to some of the mental health professionals. I think the last numbers I saw, I think there's an increase of, I think it's 40 some odd percent, almost 47% increase in mental health crisis among, I think it's, let me get this right, but I think it's 3 to 17-year-olds in the country. And then when you look at the one for college-age students, it's even higher than that. And you go, okay, so this is sort of second round of this increase in mental health crisis. The suicide rate's higher, the self-harm is higher, drug use is higher. Mm-hmm. And then oddly enough, this thing, gender dysphoria, body image issues, all of those have increased like crazy. And, mm-hmm. and then COVID comes along and it just puts them on steroids, right? So you go, okay, so all the stress and all the anxiety and all the mental issues are increasing like crazy. Well, all that this whole new transgender and gender confusion is sort of like a next logical step. So you have, and again, parents may get upset with me also. So hold on to your seat. When you cease being a parent, right? That one who cares for, nurtures, protects, and builds into your child this sense of value and purpose and that image of God, when you cease to do that and you turn it over to social media and electronics and teachers, what you have is this growing sort of tension, mental tension inside, psychological problems inside. Why? Because the things that I'm intrinsically designed to get from my two parents around me, I'm not getting. So this sense of self-worth, the sense of, you know, a lack of identity, those things start to rise up inside of me. And they're perfect now receptors and avenues for Satan to lie, whisper all kinds of lies to me. So now everything sounds plausible. You know, I'm a girl, I'm a boy, not neither, because now I got to make a decision. Well, there's 52 you can choose from. You can be what you want to do. You can act like you can get all five of them if you like. You know, those, it's just a logical progression. If you take away what God has put in place, then Satan will fill it with all sorts of other things.
Right. Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Great. You just gave me another segue. Thank you.
There you go.
Anything I do, you know, help.
the parents are supposed to be the guardrails in bowling, right? So
yes.
Yes. On the wood.
Yes.
Like what you just said, when they're not there, or they're soft, gentle parenting,
yes,
they fall in the gutter, right? So,
yes.
So that said, I had a really good analogy that I tell people. So you show them a chair, and you show them the sturdy legs, the seat, the back. You sit in it; it's sturdy. I'm fine. I'm stable. That's God. Your child needs to see you in that chair praying for the things you're going through. If you're in a valley, you know, and if we're probably preaching the choir, because most of the people probably that listen to us are Christian, but get this to your kids that aren't. If they're the prodigals out there, teach them about this chair that, you know, then you as a parent need to show your kids that you're in the chair is stable. And then before they go off to college, when they hit the whole secular world, that they get in the chair and they show that it's stable and that they can pray for the things they're worried about. So when they're in a dorm room or a class with, you know, 30 other kids, and they're about to get in that chair and they're being told, no, don't get in that chair, it's going to fall apart on you. You can say, no, it won't. I've been in it before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, but I'm looking back so old, thinking of that chair, like you said. You remember when we were younger, Tank, and Ron, you guys, Paul, you remember, they used to use an example of a chair, you know, who's on the throne of your heart? And we have the chair like that, and that solid chair you're talking about, it was either going to be yourself or it was going to be the cross. Now, with woke, they have done everything possible, everything I hear you all talking about, from Doge and exposure of things. What are they trying to do? Trying to belong, trying to get, receive, become, belong, belong, belong. And then, like you said, women in sports, men in sports, who am I in sports? I mean, I can't beat anybody. If I can beat a woman in sports and still do it, well, that makes me something. Now, does it? Really not. I still don't belong. Who do I belong to? Who am I? You're made to belong to God. And I always think of that picture. I don't know where I saw it, but maybe you guys remember, of Jesus, where it says he looked over Jerusalem and wept over Jerusalem. And I think he's weeping over people like this, who you're so clearly saying they're hungry to belong. They don't have any answers. And they have turned unwittingly. We turn into soft Christians. We give simplistic answers rather than what Tank was just saying, comparing you to Trump there, Tank, or Tank to Trump, which you were just saying. You know,
got an orange chair. Mine's white.
There you go. We got to sit strong in that chair and realize it's not going to be that easy. And you remember in Scripture, Paul, there's a red line of blood that runs, the line of red, thin line of red, comes from Genesis all the way through Scripture to Revelation. And what's that? It's alluding to the blood of Christ on the cross, so we never have to be alone. And if we can come to that place and sit in that chair and see God, even if we don't want people to see us seeing God because we're afraid they won't accept us, if that kid can just quietly say, hey, I know he's there, nobody's looking, it's just you, me, God, like that song, To a Penny from Billy Graham. If you're really there, if you're a real God, be real to me. We'll get through those things that Ron so perfectly shared that aren't going to get us anywhere. We can't even crawl in the chair using those. And Christians, we've been too soft for too long, and we need to get them to realize that we need to stand up on the revelation of the truth of God's word. Yep. And liberal Democrats and this and the other have been able to just come along and say, well, you can't say anything. You're Christians. You have to love us no matter what we do. Yeah, but where do you see how we can love you? I'm done.
So I, go ahead, Ron. You know, one of the so one of my well used to be one of my favorite scripture texts. Mm-hmm. And when I learned dug into it, it became even more significant. Just that I didn't want to stand out. But anyway, that's another story.
Yeah.
So you know, your Jewish friends call that the Shema. You know, every Jew knows it, and you know, they get bar mitzvah, they got to say it again. But you know, this idea of love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all this soul, with all your might, right? And it says, and these things you shall teach them to your children.
Amen. That's right.
But not only that, he says, you shall diligently teach them to your children. You shall talk about them when you rise up. Talk about them as you walk along the way. When you sit down in your house, and when you lie down, and when Amen. You rise up, right?
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You have to take this love you have for God, every single aspect of your life. You have to understand all the commandments He's given you, and then you integrate that in your life, and everything about it said it should be a shining example to your children. Every single day, every aspect of your life should shine forth to them. So you're not only telling them what God says and then leading them through understanding and knowing what God says, but at the same time, they are looking at you as you're teaching these things as a confirmation or affirmation of the truth of those things. And that builds into a child his or her identity, right? First being the Imago Dei, right? Greatly loved by the one who created them, and then I have an earthly pattern to follow, which also is my assurance of the of this image of that this image and the identity I've been given.
Amen. Yeah,
that thing there. What he talks about, right? It's the iron of an arrow. It's a sharpening of a tip, and it flies straight. So that when I launch him or her off into the world, they are an offensive weapon that goes right into the heart of the Satan's lies in an environment. They don't bend. They don't bow down. They don't squirt around trying to figure out who they are. And they're not subject to all the lies of the world. It's been ingrained in them who they are and who they belong to. We've lost that. And I still lay the charge at the feet of Christian parents. If you spend more time at your job and sports events than you do discipling and training your children, you're failing.
Yes.
You're failing.
You want to be like that old dad, that old story. Remember when the young man graduated from college, he threw his hat in the air and ran over, grabbed his dad, said, "You know, Pop, just want you to know I love you. And you sure learned a lot in the last 4 years." Christian school, everything he taught him, like you said, Ron, there it was, you know. I think I may have stepped on you there. Sorry, Tank. Go ahead.
No, I just said iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
Yeah. We're meant to do this together. So,
yeah. Paul, you got a thought there?
Lots of thoughts. I thought about this today as you and I talked a little bit earlier in the day about some of these issues. I as a Christian, I do believe that the Bible teaches seed time and harvest. What you put in the ground, all things being equal, it's going to come up. And we shouldn't be surprised if we plant less than good crops, that bad ones come up. I mean, or to use another illustration, if we leave a piece of ground alone, it's not going to grow corn and it's not going to grow beans. It's going to grow weeds.
Yes.
And so you have to be diligent, you know, about it. I'm reminded of one thing Mark Twain said one time. He said, I'd love to operate like with the cool confidence of a Christian holding four aces, you know, and, you know, to really have the confidence in our hearts, which brings me just two real quick things. Jesus said, we're the salt and the light of the world. And that's not just a casual statement that he made. That's a call which requires commitment and understanding, and it requires discipline to do those kind of things. When we received Christ, we received the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit, if I understand the book of Galatians, gave us a 9-segment fruit that he put inside of us, and it's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All one thing. We all get those things. And if you don't cultivate those things, they tend to fall away after a little while. But being salt and light, I want to back up about 55 years here. Okay. Joe and I don't know if you're aware that, but Joe was quite a musician, and he was a part of a group called the Flint Ridge Singers for a while. But Joe opened for a guy named Glenn Campbell. You ever heard of Glenn Campbell in Hawaii? Joe opened for Glenn Campbell. And one of the songs that Glenn Campbell sang, and it was a joy. I always kind of stood in awe of Joe and his talent. You know, I mean, no, it's really true. I was just, you know, taken aback at what he could do with a guitar and sing. But Joe and I had I had the privilege of singing with Joe quite a bit in a lot of churches in Texas. And I think we had 92 churches that we were able to minister to. There's a song that we sang that Glenn Campbell made famous, and it was a song called "You've Got to Try a Little Kindness." Okay. Yeah. And in thinking about that song, the first line of that is, or the first part of the song, if you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he's sown.
Yes.
And if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you know, and so thinking about the kindness, we as Christians, we need to be forthright in what we believe and to tell the truth, but to temper that truth with kindness, because I feel like the last 4 years or more, it's almost like we've been violated in a sense, you know, by our government. And it's almost like domestic violence. If you stop to think about it, they use coercion and threats and intimidation and emotional abuse and isolation and minimizing our lives and using their privilege and economic abuse. And all of those things are happening. And we as Christians, you know, we look at that and we go, whoa, wait a minute, there is an answer to this. There is a pushback to this. And the pushback is that we are authentic as we walk into a world that's really hostile. It's really hostile. But God has made provision that we have him, but we also have each other. And if we start linking up in that and supporting one another, praying for one another, encouraging one another, using the giftedness that God has given to us, I'm convinced that God is working upstream, and we have yet to see what he's prepared. And when we get past this a little bit more, we'll look back and say, there you were. You were there all the time. And of course he was. And the wonderful news is, and I'll stop with this, he's invited us to be a part of that whole process. What an invitation. And if you're willing to accept that invitation and cooperate with him and work through our issues that we have with our faith, et cetera, sometimes, and work through our doubts, if that's a fair enough thing to say. And if we're willing to make the necessary adjustments to participate with him, we have yet to see what God's going to unleash in the world. I mean, I'm excited about it. Personally, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, you know, and along the way. But along the way, to practice and use what God has given us, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all what God's placed in us to enable us to give honor to Christ by being the salt and the light in the world. Does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
It's good to know that we're in this thing together. We're in this together. Yeah. God has already provisioned to honor that. And it's an exciting time.
I'm excited about the fact that we're going to, wait, my feedback here. Sorry. Excited about the fact that we win in the end. So, but at the same time, that's the motivator too, to, as you said, engage, you know, Christ has given us a mission, and it doesn't matter who's in office, what happens. Our mission is still to share the gospel, then grow people in that gospel
Amen.
Given the fruits of the Spirit inside of us. But also, I must say that you messed me up there, Paul, because in my head, I now have this, I am a lineman for the Calvary.
I feel cold up there. You guys, you guys remember that song Paul used to sing this? The verse simply said, it was a chorus, he was there all the time. He was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line, he was there all the time. Remember that, Paul?
Yep,
man, sure that there's the chorus. He is there in line, and he's ready to go to work. So we can stand tall and keep going. Tank, you have a thought there?
you just reminded me of Psalms 23. It's like, you know, again, though I chose to be a dumb person. A mule. I can say that because it's biblical.
It is.
Yeah. Go on at one end of Jerusalem.
Go ahead.
Anyway,
yeah, that's right.
You know, though I chose to walk in the valley of the shadow of death, he's right behind me with, you know, a staff. So he's there to guide me on a hill or a cliff and whack me about the head and neck if I need it. So.
Yeah. Joe and I had a professor in college, and he said, Dr. Harris, a wonderful guy, and he said, you know, gentlemen, God chose to speak through a jackass once in history, you know, and he said, the problem with that is every time a jackass opens his mouth, somebody's going to stop to listen, you know, so there you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's right. Well, I got a thought here just to run by. Tank, it is. Did you write anything, or should I just go ahead here?
You can go ahead. Yeah.
Hey, folks, I wasn't sure here, but we're just grateful that we know the Lord. We're grateful we love the Lord. It allows us to just love all of you. We know you're serving the Lord out there and working hard. We're just going to get better and better following what he tells us to do in our lives, stay close to the word and such. And we just want to thank you for watching us each week. And we know that you know that we live on those donations that you give and your gifts to keep the program going on the air. We're on the best radio network there is, BBS Radio Television. We love these guys. We love the family. We have the best engineer and TJ, one of the sons that's with us every night. We love and appreciate this young man. And as we do this each week, we'd like to look at the website real quick. If TJ's there, just to let you take a quick peek at it. This is going to be a 30-second shot here, but you'll see right on there's a Venmo. If you feel led of the Lord to help us give the gospel out, to help us give the conservative perspective, to help us be some of that love and light that Paul spoke about, and the truth and power that Ron was sharing, and the heart of a medical doctor that sees people where they need it so that we can hopefully do the same thing and be used of God where people need it. You could use the Venmo, the scan right there. What's that thing called again, guys?
The QR code.
That's it. That was a test. And see how quick, Ron, you got it, Ron. It's a QR code. But the QR code is there. There's also a donation button, or if you wanted to call, my number's on there. It's on the end of the tape also. I'd be glad to take that call from you in any way that you may feel led to help. We definitely could use it very much to continue. We'd want to do some more things and grow and expand in some ways. And that's what we're working on right now. Thank you for the notes that have come across my phone and other things while we've been talking. We've got some great programs coming up for you. We've got a great senatorial candidate with a federal class one CIA clearance. You know her very well. She lectures now at universities and hopefully works with Trump pretty soon. And she will be with us for 2 weeks, Denise Gary Pandahl. She just will be sharing what she sees like we've shared. We also have Dr. Jim Robbins from the Institute of World Politics, founded by President Reagan in Washington, D.C. He's coming, and all of them will be sharing. But we're the only ones that you would be able to hear the Magnificent Seven theme, because they don't get that because there's just one and there's four of us. So we got closer to the seven. But anyway, I just love you guys. And we love all of you for tuning in. And two quick minutes. Guys, share a few seconds. Let's go around. Share a word you want to put, one thought to people.
Well, I'll just piggyback on what Paul and Craig alluded to. It's, you know, look and understand and know what's going on in the world and get a good understanding of it. But more so than that, you need a good understanding of who God is, what he said, and what he has promised, and keep your eyes on him and your foot planted on his truth. So it doesn't matter what happens out here, understand it, know it, impact, but always keep your faith in Christ firm. And no matter what the times look like, whether they're good or bad, you'll always stand firm and with confident knowing that God's going to take you, follow you through on it. So I'll be with you.
Amen. Amen. Spot
and
on.
In the end, he wins.
Amen. That's right. We're with him. Paul, you got 15 seconds, something you want
yeah,
to say?
Yeah, listen, old ancient words, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we fight against powers and principalities and rulers and chieftains in high places. Yes. So get your armor on. Get your armor on. It's all available. Just get ready. Ephesians chapter 6. Check into it. Yeah.
Amen. Ephesians 6. Hey, Tank, say a quick word and do a prayer for us.
Sure.
Pray us out for everybody.
Okay. I'll give. I'll lead it with a pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Praise God. Amen.
That us and the listeners can be lights to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. They have the chance to do some amazing things.
Amen.
Gaza, make it a resort.
Amen.
Just be the light to the world. Be what Paul said. Yes. In Galatians, you know, amen. Kindness, patience, all mind. And just be.
Give him a quick prayer, Tank.
Because
we're on our minutes. Yeah.
The truth. Go ahead. And love at the same time.
Amen. Tank, give him a quick prayer. We're running over our time, but pray us out real quick, would you, brother? Pray
sure. Dear God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the people who are listening. May they have peace in this world. May they just keep the light of God shining, so that people could see that we have something that others don't have, and that we hope that they want that.
Amen.
Let us be kind and patient to those people that aren't believers, and show them the way when they ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Really do. You blessed my life again tonight. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. God bless you. Stay strong. We'll see you next week, and we're going to pray he speaks through you like the guy said and touches and changes at least 5 lives this week. We're up for 5. There's 4 of us and 1 of you. 5. Yeah, okay. We're going to pray that. Thanks so much. See you next week.
Happy trails to you.
Yeah, that too.
Now, friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.